Warning, this podcast contains spoilers. Warning, this podcast contains spoilers.
Let's go watch it in 2D. No, let's go watch it in 3D. But if we watch it in 3D, then is it worth the cost?
Every leap of civilization was built off the back of slaves. Replicants are the future, but I can only make so many. I had the lock, and he has the key. I think I found him.
That's not possible. If this gets out, we've bought ourselves a war.
Okay, welcome to the spoiler-filled review of Blade Runner 2049. Only 3 months late. So I have with me Miss Kristen Richard.
Hello, everyone.
And you recently watched this movie, right?
Well, it's been a couple of months since I watched it. It's been 3 months late.
So, like we said, this is full of spoilers, so if you haven't watched the movie, I mean, at this point, you're probably not going to watch it. I mean, it's been 3 months, and it kind of... Yeah, I think it's about to come out on Blu-ray and DVD pretty soon, so... yeah. So, let's do a quick recap of the story. So, it takes place pretty much the same time that the original does from now. So, like, they skipped ahead 30 years or whatever. That's as much time as the movie released and the movie is now, today, releasing when the 2049, give or take, right?
Right.
And the movie starts with a big block of text on the screen and tells you what's changed and what's new. Now, what do you think of this?
Well, I thought it was a nice shout-out to the original film, but I must say that the one thing that has changed since 2019 to 2039 is that fashion is apparently exactly the same as it was in 1980.
Yeah, for me, that text is just kind of not a good way to start a movie, a block of text.
Sorry, the first movie, but it was a shout-out to the first movie.
I just, you know, I was like, okay, thanks for giving me, you know, some time and some back information here, but I kind of wish that they would have just told me or showed me these things, you know, and instead of just having, here's some text to read, you know.
Yeah, it was a shout out to the original film. It's right down to the red text and everything.
Now, we've discussed this before. I'm not a fan of the original. You are.
We disagree.
So I kind of hate the original, where I love this one. So before we get into it, what are your overall, do you like it, do you love it?
I think it's a much more popular, properly made film. It's certainly not the artistic piece that the original one was.
You don't think so?
The diehard fans of this film may or may not like this one as much. I didn't like it as much, but because the original was such an artistic film, and it really wasn't made to be mainstream. It was made to tell a story in a very slow and deliberate way.
No, I kind of think that. That it's still not necessarily a mainstream movie, but I do feel like it's a lot easier to digest and a lot more friendly to narrative.
Audience friendly. And I couldn't help but check the box office today, and the movie made money. So that's quite different than the first one they made. Because they said if it hadn't been for the cult following that came out on VHS and DVD, that the movie would have never made money.
Now, did you watch this in theaters, or did you watch it on or what?
No, I watched it in a movie theater. I didn't see it in 3D, but everybody told me that it was worthless.
It was kind of... Okay, so I could appreciate what they did with it. I just didn't think they did much with it. It's one of those things where it's like, well, okay, I could see what they're doing. It's kind of subtle. It's kind of light. You know, here and there you had some cool things with the holograms, but it was just, like, not really there. So that's where it kind of feels like, well, okay, you know, it's there. There's some merit to it, but it's not like, oh, my God, or nothing you'll remember. I think a lot of people were mentioning that they liked how subtle and light it was. I just don't think that's a good thing. You know, there's just a little bit of depth, you know, here and there. I just kind of forgot that it was there. And it just didn't do much.
I said this before about 3D movies. I said that it's probably going to be the new normal. You know, it's sort of like when The Wizard of Oz came out and it was the first color film. You know, it was full of colors, but eventually, you know, everything kind of started becoming homogenized and accepted. You know, they weren't trying to wow people with all the tricky things they could do with color. You know, it just became a color film. And I think that will be the same way that 3D is. It's not going to be having swords and bullets flying at the audience. It's just going to be a very subtle addition to the media.
So, you know, there's some scenes of snow and rain that looks nice. There's like one chase scene where the depth is really nice. You know, you do get to have some of the actors. You see them, and it's nice, but it's not, you know, I don't regret watching it in 3D, but I don't recommend it. I just don't think it's necessarily worth it for that purpose.
It shouldn't be. It should stand on its own without that.
So, I mean, it just...
The first certainly.
You know, it's just one of those things where I think that it was... I could appreciate what they did, but I don't really think it's worth it. Like, you know, it's just like maybe a C-minus kind of, you know, giving it a grade. And it's just like, well, I mean, I paid good money to watch this. Is it that much better?
Eventually, they won't charge you anymore for 3D. Eventually, probably all films will be 3D, and it'll just be one side.
Now, the actual cinematographer that made it, the movie, said not to watch it in 3D.
It was by his advice that I went to a 2D screening of it.
And, you know, I could usually want to trust the cinematographer about that. You know, the studio probably wanted to do it, and they'd say, okay, we'll do it, but, you know, it's a little dark, and, you know, it's a difference between someone that, you know, really puts a lot of effort into there and someone that doesn't. So I thought the 3D was really weak and just not worth it. So let's get to the movie itself. Blade Runner... I feel like 2049 is really dependent on you watching and remembering the original. If you have not seen it, I don't think you'll get it. What do you think?
Yeah, it's probably pretty true. They don't give a whole lot of backstory to the previous. They do a lot of shout-outs and so forth, but they certainly don't leave the audience alone. I don't think it could be possible to watch it. Unlike, you know, like the Star Wars, you know, you could easily enjoy Empire Strikes Back. And still enjoy the movie and not be lost. It's pretty easy to pick out who the villains and so forth, any of the good guys are. But in this film, it wouldn't be possible, I don't think.
So we start the movie off with Ryan Gosling as Kay, the android, who is now the Blade Runner, who works for the LAPD. And Kay is legitimately a... android. You don't have any kind of thoughts that he is or isn't, and his job is to kill other androids or replicants, and because the other ones have started to gain free will and don't necessarily want to do what the humans always want them to do. So what do you think of the main character, Ryan Gosling as Kay?
I thought Ryan Gosling did a good job on that role.
Yeah, I really like him a lot.
He's a known actor, but he's not so well known. It's not like they put Tom Cruise in that role or something. You know, they took a chance, and I think it worked out well.
Now, I really like how they kind of balanced it, where you could tell that he was robotic. Like, he wasn't 100% human in emotion, but he wasn't 100% I am a robot, you know, either. They just had that nice little smoothness to the character where, like, you know he's not right. You know, if I saw him walking around talking to him, I could tell something ain't right with that guy. But I couldn't, you know, wasn't sure that it was a robot or not, but I could kind of sense it, you know, and then you have the really good acting. What do you think?
Right. And the first film did that, too. You know, where it was hard to tell, but there were certain little idiosyncrasies that would kind of give away the fact that they were replicants instead of humans.
So, you know, for me, writing the original review of this was really hard because there's so much to the story that is impossible to talk about or really hard to talk about without spoilers. So there's kind of frame to find to go in there. You know, you start with a really cool action scene where Kay is just beating up this guy. And you don't know what the deal is, just beating him up at his house, and he kills him. And, you know, he finds that there's more to the story, and an android had a baby.
Right, it was Rachel's baby.
And that shouldn't be possible. And they don't really explain that either. It's just a part of the story. And it's like,
well,
and then...
Well, in the film, Tyrell has said that he tried to make, it was more human than human. So, he said that Rachel was an experiment, so it's not outside the realm of possibility that he was experimenting with being able to have reproductive replicas.
So, you know, you follow Kay as he's trying to figure out what's going on with this potential baby and who, you know, what replicants are left and, you know, who else to kill. And you get the, you know, his police boss. And like, you get a scene where like they try to identify if he is a you know compromised or not. And what do you think of his boss?
You know, I liked her role. I when I saw her in the what was her name, Robin Wright in the trailers, I was kind of taken by it. I was kind of worried because it just looked like it was going to be some sort of bombastic movie that was completely different than the original. When I first saw Robin Wright, I actually thought she was Denise Crosby, because I didn't check the cast before I came into the film, other than, you know, Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford. And I thought, when I first saw her, I thought, oh my God, they pulled Denise Crosby for this movie. And then I realized that it wasn't her. I thought she did a decent job at that role, as far as being tough, but still having compassion.
And, you know, it's kind of weird that the robot, you know, Kay, you know, you go back to him being a regular human being, where he goes back to his apartment, and he is, you know, they kind of hide it at first, but he has a hologram as a girlfriend, and I love that idea.
Yeah, it kind of expressed that replicants or even androids or whatever they were called in the you know, or expressed as in the film. I guess they were replicants, but it kind of demonstrated that they had emotional needs as well in order to be healthy, just like a human being.
And like he saved up his money to be able to make it to give it a bid to escape the apartment, you know. And
that's with the projector.
Yeah, and that performance, I think it's a Spanish actress, that was incredible. I really loved her performance in this as well. I think that acting was just top-notch. That it, you know, it felt alien because it wasn't humanoid, you know, but it was humanish, you know, and it was like...
She had glitches.
I love that. I love when a future movie doesn't have, like, everything perfect. You know, because that's how the future is. You know, that's how technology is. It's never perfect. There's always messing, you know, glitches and stuff.
I think that's one of the things that Lucas captured on inside of his movies, all the movies that he made, you know, Star Wars as well as Indiana Jones or Raiders of the Lost Ark, and even E.T. is that things were kind of, you know, these things were, you know, futuristic or in the past, but they were dirty, and you know, they were battle worn.
And so there is like a, you know, once the hologram becomes quote unquote self aware, it kind of becomes at the end they're not sure if it really was or not, versus programmed to love him. And you know, it actually goes out and finds a prostitute and decides to have sex with Kay within embodying the prostitute. I thought it was a really interesting scene. It just felt a little bit forced, but it felt really interesting. I was like totally compelled by it. What did you think of that scene?
Yeah, I enjoyed the scene too. I thought it was interesting after Joy was killed that he sees the advertisement for the Joy line of Android being her housewife, and I noticed that she pointed to him and said that you look like your name is Joe. And I thought that despite the fact that Joy seemed so human up to that point, that when the advertisement hologram was talking to him, it kind of shattered the illusion, I think, for the audience as well as for Kay.
Yes.
That she was just a program. I could kind of see the hurt in his eyes when the advertisement said that to him and pointed to him, that he kind of questioned whether anything was real at that point.
Yes, and I love that. I almost wanted to cry, but I almost wanted to cheer too, because it was so perfectly executed that it was just one of those things where, oh, wow, oh, my God, they really did that. And, you know, it's just a program. It's just a computer thing. It's not real.
You know, human beings question themselves about that kind of thing all the time. Am I just on autopilot, or am I a real person with individual thoughts? And in that moment, you could question whether or not you were any different than, you know, than the android.
You know, the good old question, the Turing test. Have you heard of the Turing test, Kristen?
The what?
The Turing test.
I don't think I have. Why?
So the Turing test is a construct, a thought experiment that one day artificial intelligence will be so great that humans won't be able to understand if it's AI or if it's a human being. And
okay, I've heard of the concept.
So the test is like to have a computer speak to a human being, and the human being doesn't know that the computer is a computer. It thinks it's an actual human being. And, you know, it's kind of a silly idea when you think about it, but, you know, oh, obviously back then when that idea was constructed, it was silly. But now, you know, I think a lot of people would fail a Turing test, where I think a lot of people did. I remember hearing in China there is these dating apps, and the dating apps, you know, I think it either shut it down or it lost popularity because they figured out that all the women on the dating app was robots. And all the men are disappointed.
You see evidence of that already. I'm always intrigued when I'm texting on my phone, and it picked up on the past 6 months since I've had the BlackBerry T1, it's Android technology, so it's learning my syntax when I text, when I write, and it's making word suggestions. And I think it's interesting that once it gets into my head and it's the syntax that I write and my style, that it already knows pretty much what my next word is going to be within three guesses. And I thought to myself, well, that just means that maybe my writing isn't as unique as I think it is, because a computer can pick up on it and figure and predict correctly most of the time what my next word is going to be. And I think it's a real interesting comparison as to, well, if a computer can predict what words I'm going to say next, it could probably write sentences for me that would sound exactly like I wrote them.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you kind of get upset about, too, because you're like, damn it, word, I meant to spell this. Why don't you understand to spell this? And then you're like, wait, oh, good. It shouldn't know I spelled that. You know, it's stupid. And then you're like, wait, I want it to be smart. And then when, you know, Google, and you do a Google search, and then it says, oh, did you mean to spell it this way? Oh, yeah, I did. You know?
Yeah.
And, like, it's, you know.
It's humbling when a machine is able to pick up on your, on the gait of your writing.
So that sex scene with Joy, I thought was fascinating, absolutely well executed. I just thought it was a little bit kind of strange. I did not expect there to be. I just didn't, you know, think that they would. They had chemistry together, but they didn't have, like, sexual chemistry. I guess as a machine, she wanted to have that, you know, chemistry together. But just for me, that seemed kind of a random scene to throw in the movie. Yeah, I'm glad that movie was in it, but.
A lot of the scenes in the movie, because I've watched the original film at least 100 times, so shout out to the original, they parallel. When Che and Joy were having the sex scene, all they would have had to have done is turn the Vangelis saxophone in the background, and it would have been Rachel and Dex.
So, you know, you continue with Kay, and then he is searching for answers for the baby and the idea of children, and he finds, like, a child laborer, or I guess a child slave owner,
that... The orphanage.
Yeah. And, like, you know, he's a cop, but he doesn't report them because they're trying to find out more information on them. And it's like,
well, whoa. He was outside of his jurisdiction. That they were on one of the outer rims of the civilization. So I don't think that they, I got the impression that police just didn't mess with the literal jump heap that was on the edges of Los Angeles.
So, you know, eventually you get back to the creator of the new replicant, and you get to see, you know, him talking and showing how new replicants are being made and why. And I really love the character of Jared Leto as, like, the creator, and how he's just oozing with charisma, and you, like, love to hate him. And I'm glad the movie didn't have that much of him, but I liked what they had. What do you think of him?
Right. It was interesting that he kind of took over where the Tyrell Corporation left off.
And just how, you know, he was like, oh, today's your birthday, and talking to the robots and, you know, making sure that they were, you know, that he owned them. And it was, you know, my robots don't have free will. My robots are better than their robots that did have free will. And, you know, a little heavy-handed, but I did like it. I did like how that idea was. Is there, you know?
Well, I like the way that he burst that replicant and then murdered her just within moments, because they were just machines to him.
Yeah. And then, you know, to us, it looked just like a person. So it's hard to be able to tell a difference between them. Now, there's one kind of thing here that I found kind of weird. I think some people have pointed it out since my review. And, you know, some people have said this movie is a little bit sexist. And I mentioned this in the review, not that they were sexist, that there is an excessive amount of female nudity. I'm a guy, and I have no problem with female nudity. But as a woman, did you think that there is a sexist undertone and too much nudity, or is that just me?
I thought about that, actually, when I was driving home. I don't think so. It is a dystopian future, and in a dystopian future, sexism will reign king. It wasn't all, not every woman in the movie was, you know, a prostitute or a housewife or an android housewife. You know, what was her name?
The police officer.
What was her name? Was it Love? Was that her name?
Yeah, I think so.
The replicant assassin. She was an extremely powerful character. And, you know, she was a woman that, you know, was strong and able to fight, you know, and, you know, beat guys to a pulp. And, I thought, well, but, you know, there's a balance there, and it's even a dystopia, but I mean, it's important to remember that sexism is something you talk about when you have the capacity to talk about it. But if you get into a dystopian world where things are polarized between wealth and poverty, then sexism is going to be a real thing.
Now, I kind of feel like the nudity seemed like it was excessive to me. Like every chance they had, they would show a nude female body there. And it just was like, really? Every time there's nude woman every other 20 minutes in this movie? Which, you know, I don't mind seeing it, but it just seemed like it was a lot more than it probably needed to be. At least that's what I noticed.
Well, again, I think it plays into the story of just how dystopian that the world had become. That it basically had become just open sex where nakedness was not even mentionable. It was just a common thing.
Okay, so let's keep going here. You know, you eventually get back to Kay going to find the original Blade Runner, and you get to have a re-performance of Rick Deckard, or more commonly known as Harrison Ford, and I love Harrison Ford in this.
Yeah, he did a nice reprise of the role. I thought it was interesting that it was maybe a lot more like the actual Harrison Ford than the original Deckard. But I guess after 30 years of living on the run, you would become, you know, you would have changed quite a bit.
And that they don't shy away that he's a replicant, and you know that he, you know, he understands how things happen at the last movie, and you know just how he that scene where Kay and Jared were fighting, and they had the holograms of like Elvis. Oh my God, that was amazing.
Yeah, it was a good scene.
And like, you know, Harrison Ford does look old in this movie, but he still is able to keep up with the young, you know, Kay, you know, and be able to fight him and have an action scene that's believable and fun and interesting to watch. And, you know, you get this sense that the universe is just so deep in symbolism, and there's just so much more to this world than you've seen that even, you know, there should be, like, you know, 20 novels of this. You know, because there's so much depth to it. There's so much allegory and symbolism and just so much to this, you know.
Well, I'm glad you're finally on board.
So you get to the scene where I guess the cop or the android assassin is trying to stop Kay from, you know, showing Decker his daughter, which, you know, you find out is one of the main characters in this movie, where she's trying to help out Kay to begin with, and that's the whole thing circles back around where, you know, she is able to create, you know, the holograms and create the ideas of robots and the, you know, memories to be able to implant it because she is both human and android, and you know, that ending is just so chilling just because, you know, it's just like, you want to see what happens, but you're kind of happy it didn't show you, you know?
Right.
Now, one small issue I had with the movie was that I felt like that some of the action scenes, because they're replicants, because they're robots, they're androids, you can't really tell how hurt they are. So it's kind of hard to understand if one is really winning or losing a battle. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I guess I can see that, yeah.
And, like, you know, there's a scene with the water where they're trying to fight, and I'm like, okay, can replicants drown? I don't know if they can or not, you know. How much punches can they do until they break down? I don't know. But
well-built.
Extremely well-built, of course. They cost probably a lot of money, so they're probably meant to be that way. So let's go to the cinematography. What do you think of the cinematography in this movie and how the visuals look?
The visuals were good. I enjoyed the fact that they kind of merged some of the old brands that were highlighted in the original movie, like the Atari logo.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of those in the original film. But again, like I said at the beginning of the movie, despite the fact that 30 years had passed, it seemed like it had only been a couple of years since the last movie, because people were still carrying around neon umbrellas and they were dressed pretty much the same. And I kind of wondered whether the screenplay, you know, it's like, well, I guess they wanted everyone to know that it was definitely the Blade Runner world, you know, from the original movie. But I kept thinking that things would have changed a lot, that everybody dressed so much the same as they did in the original movie.
Yeah, I could kind of see that. I kind of think that how they did the holograms with the modern technology and the ships, you know, they just basically updated that amazing look from before. But it looks
right.
So much better now.
Right. You know, for 30 years, you think about how much technology has changed in 30 years, you know, since the 1980s up to now, it just seems like it would have moved along a little bit more, and it would have moved out of, you know, cyberpunk 80s, which is basically where it still was.
Now, and then, of course, you know, just how they did the hologram to look glitchy and look realistic, and, you know, I thought that was really cool, and it looked fantastic, you know, it's just beautiful. I loved how much of the cinematography as well, where, like, you know, you have these snow, and it just, the rich, the deep fog, and, you know, how it looked like you're going to Mars whenever you're going to visit, you know, Derek in his casino, because it's just, the pollution was so thick, you know, and it looked so rich, like it could be a real place, where I think, you know, where the, you know, original was looked cyberpunk, and like you said, but I feel like this looked more realistic. On top of that, they had the worn look to the buildings and the worn, you know, more, it looked just like an updated version of it than,
right.
You know, what,
we given up on cleanup at that point.
Yeah, it's dirty and filthy and real. It's not, you know, a shiny, brand-new future. It's a lived-in, realistic, nasty, grimy future that could theoretically exist, you know? That's what I liked about seeing that. The visuals in this movie, I thought, fantastic. There is one thing toward the end where I kind of thought, huh? It's with, like, I guess, underground survivors or underground people that they knew that, you know, it's like the prophecies or something like that. I just kind of thought that part where there's like an underground society there and they're trying to help out Kay, I thought that was really underdeveloped. And I was like, huh? Who are these people? I don't understand.
I think that the reason we had the underground replicants was to put to rest the fact that part of the audience up to that point was thinking that Kay was Deckard's son, which he turned out not to be. And basically that was the hope of all the replicants that were living underground, is because they had free will and thought, they thought that maybe they were the child as well.
Yeah, I just kind of felt like they kind of could have done more to not really explain that, but explain who they are and how they know things. They kind of just throw you in there in the deep end and like, okay, how do these people know who he is?
I knew they were replicants because their leader, that lady, was missing one of her eyes, and when they retired or tried to retire a replicant, they would take the eye as evidence.
So, I mean, my nitpicks are small. I admit they're nitpicks. I adore this movie, and I think it's way better than the first one because it's just not as slow as the first one. I think this one is much more just interesting to, you know, I think
it's certainly more commercial.
So I think it's faster paced, but then it's still like 3 hours long, but it flows better, I think, than the original. And I do like,
yeah, 100 times like I have, you start to feel the flow.
You know, much as I do like Harrison Ford, he was just kind of a jerk in the original. I just didn't like him as much. You know, where I do like K okay in this, you know, so I do like the characters more. I do think they, you know, so I love this movie. I think it's one of the best movies that came out last year. I gave this almost the perfect score I could give. It's actually one of those things where I gave it a 9 out of 10 when I originally reviewed it, and the more I thought about it, the more it sat with me. I ended up giving it an Editor's Choice Award for the movie as well. So it is right there on perfect for me. It's just one of those things that's just an amazing movie and so deep, so well done, so well edited, and I love it. What did you give it as a score?
Well, I thought that it was a good homage to the original movie. The place that I thought that it really, really suffered that bothered me as a musician is they have had some clashes and changes in tug of war with that soundtrack. It really, really showed in this movie. It almost seemed like the soundtrack was thrown together on synthesizers within 6 weeks or something, and it wasn't really as sticky and clingy as the original soundtrack. I can listen to the original soundtrack all the way through, absent of the movie, and enjoy it. I could never do that with this film. Because the soundtrack in this, outside of a few homages that were paid to Vangelis' work, especially at the ending with the tears and rain and the snow, were just really, really lacking and just not very memorable. And in many ways, they were bombastic. And so the soundtrack was suffering for this movie, to me. I also thought that the violence, while it was great action, that it still wasn't as insane as the original movie. The original movie just seemed to give no cold barb with regard to the just brutal violence that was in the original movie. And I thought that this one was a little more muted. Even though there were great action scenes, the violence itself was muted. I think it's a good sequel. I could not give this thing a perfect score, though. Yeah, I would probably give the original a 9 for its artistic expression that was so ahead of its time. And the most I could give this one would be an 8 out of 10.
Still really close, though.
Huh?
Still really close to the original in quality.
Right, yes. I'm glad I watched it.
So, you mentioned that it made money. I got the numbers up here. So, the projected budget was about $150 million, and it made $91 million in the U.S., and foreign, it made $167 million. So, just a little shy of $260 million. So, with advertising, it maybe got a profit. You know, advertising usually about 75 to 100 million. So it may be broke even.
Even it did better than the first movie. The first movie was literally pulled from the theaters, I think, within 3 weeks because just nobody was going to see this movie. I mean, it was VHS rental in the 80s that brought this movie, brought the whole fest to happen.
Now, it's kind of interesting. I really wanted to see more of this. Like, I would want to see a TV show in the Blade Runner universe, you know? And it's kind of not necessarily a Blade Runner TV show. I mean, it's kind of a weird half-step. But there is a Do Electronic Sheep Sleep Dream of, or Do, what was it? Do Androids Dream of Electronic Sleep? Or Androids... What is
that's the book the movie was made.
Yeah, that's the idea from Philip K. Dick. Do Androids Dream of Electronic Sheep? That's the original story. And there's actually a TV show on that.
I just researched on this, and I was kind of surprised to find out that there were two short films and actually an anime for the Blade Runner series that I have not seen or ever heard of. And I was kind of astonished that as many forums as I have read on this movie, on the original movie, that I had never been exposed to those.
So I'm curious to see how that TV show, it's a brand new TV show. It's how that actually is similar or not similar to, Blade Runner. But it's pretty interesting. You know, the reviews are kind of up in the air, how people like it or not. But it's a UK show. I think it's on Netflix. But it's definitely interesting. Definitely want more from this world. Would you want to see a Blade Runner 3?
I'm sorry, I had some trouble hearing you.
Would you want to see a third Blade Runner movie?
I would go watch the third Blade Runner movie, yes. Yeah.
What would you want from it?
A little more carefully spun story like the first.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to mention about Blade Runner 2049?
Okay, I think I said what I wanted to say. Let's see, let me just go through my notes real quick. That's it.
All right, well, I hope everyone listening enjoys this podcast, even though it's late. You know, it's never too late to talk about a movie. You can go back in time and talk about anything. You know, art is going to be art forever and ever. And if anything...
We should do a review on the first movie.
I'm going to still give it a thumbs down. I still do not like that movie. I just think it's boring, man. I just think it's boring. And so I like what they do. I think this one does it better. You know, I would probably give the first one.
It does it better for a wider audience. I will give you that.
So, yeah, for me, this is better. You know, if you've never seen the original, it's kind of hard to see the original and then see this, you know. But it's definitely an interesting idea and really well executed. And it's kind of one of those things that I'm glad movie sequel does exist for this, you know, story. So, all right. Well, that's going to be it for us. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
All right. So that's going to wrap up this podcast.
Remember to like, comment, favorite, subscribe, love, whatever. Heart it. Be something.
3D or 2D.com can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. And if you want to send us email, our email address is email3dor2d@gmail.com. And thank you again for listening. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, everyone.